we think about math, some of us might think of the practical side that we use to calculate a tip or figure out our taxes, and others might maybe break out in a cold sweat. Our next guest says there's a lot more to it than that, that there's fun and even beauty to be found in the world of math.
Melanie Matchett Wood has worked and played in the math world from an early age. At age 16, she became the first female student to make the U.S. International Mathematical Olympiad team. Today, she's an assistant professor of mathematics at UW-Madison, and just last month, she was named as a Packard Fellow for Science and Engineering, a major award for new approaches in mathematical thinking. Melanie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me here today.
Well, when did you first get drawn into math?
Well, I always liked school, but math didn't stand out for me until middle school when I got involved in a competition called Math Counts, which is a program for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. Mm-hmm. And in Math Counts, for the first time, I was asked to solve problems that no one had taught me how to solve. And that's when I saw how cool math could be, that it wasn't just applying some sequence of steps that the teacher had taught you, but rather figuring out new ways of thinking about things.
You make it sound like it's creative, that there's using parts of your brain and putting new things together in different ways. Is there creativity in math?
You know, absolutely. That's exactly what I do. You know, my work as a mathematician at UW-Madison involves trying to solve math problems that no one knows how to solve. And a lot of these questions have been around for hundreds of years. And so to solve that kind of question, you need really new creative ideas. You need totally new ways of looking at the same old things and new approaches.
That's one of my, I think, misconceptions about math. I think, all right, math, they've been doing it since ancient Greece. They probably got it all pretty much hashed out, but there's still frontiers.
Absolutely. I study number theory, and one of the big objects of interest in number theory are the prime numbers. So those are numbers like 2, 3, 5, 7, 11 that can't be factored or broken down as the product of other numbers, like 6 is 2 times 3, so it's not prime. Mm-hmm. And every number is built out of primes, so they're like the basic building blocks of our numbers, like the atoms, but of numbers. And since the ancient Greeks, people have been asking about primes and the patterns in primes and how you find primes and where they are among the other numbers. And we are still making progress and new discoveries about those same questions today.
Now, people like yourself who can really navigate in this world of mathematics, they sometimes use words like beauty or they use the word elegance to describe math. How would you explain that to someone like me who can't do math at that level? What does that mean?
Well, I think for mathematicians, the beauty or the elegance is how pieces fit together to solve a math problem or solve a puzzle. You might think of it like, you know, if someone who loves mechanical watches and how just all the little pieces fit together perfectly to produce that mechanism that can consistently tell time. I think for mathematicians, when you have mathematical ideas that all finally fit together to give you that answer, it's that kind of beauty that we get really excited about.
Well, that fitting together part sounds great. I get that. But I imagine up until then, there's a lot of frustration and heartbreak and just labor that goes into it before you hit that eureka moment.
Oh, absolutely. The problems that I'm working on today, some of them I have been working on for years, and people have been working on them for many years before me. So it is a hard process, and you have to try, you know, hundreds of things before one of them works. That's one of the big differences when I think about math. For me, math is trying all these new things, and maybe one of them will work. Whereas I think a lot of times the math that people have seen in school, when I'm talking to somebody who says, oh, yeah, I never liked math, they're thinking of math as there being one path that you have to follow, one path to a solution. And, you know, unfortunately, that is sometimes the little glimpse of it you see in school, but that's only a little piece of all mathematics.
So I imagine that you want people to know that there's this whole other side of math that they can enjoy and see the beauty in and play around in. How do you do that, starting, let's say, with kids who may have this one set idea about what mathematics is?
Well, I think, first of all, one place that kids get their ideas about what math is from their parents. And, you know, a lot of adults that I talk to, when they say, I don't like math. And I'm talking to them and I say, I like math. And I realize we're talking about two different things. Mm. I find out, oh, well, they say they don't like math, but they love cooking or they love quilting or they love poker. And I say, well, all of those things are math. They're rich in math. You do love math. You're just not you're not identifying all of those things as math. So I think for grown-ups and especially parents, one thing that's really important is to find the math in the things that you love. Especially if you come from a background of having an identity, I'm not a math person, I don't like math particularly, it can make it easy for you to overlook that, whether if you like building things, if you like constructing things, if you like shopping and, you know, finding good discounts and seeing how you can get the most for your money, if you like games, any kind of board games, card games, strategy games, all of those things are just full of math. And so I think that if you find the math in the things that you love and you can share that love with your kids, you can get them excited about math and tell them, hey, this is math.
Melanie Matchett-Wood is sharing her love of math with us now. She's a professor of mathematics at UW-Madison, and you've been involved in a lot of competitions, International Math Olympiad, things like that, as a participant, I think as a coach, too. What happens? What happens when you go in one of those?
Yeah, so math competitions, for students, give students problems that they haven't been taught how to solve. So it's not like in school where maybe you've been taught the quadratic formula and then you're supposed to solve a quadratic equation. No, it's not like that. You're given a problem that no one has taught you how to solve. And so what students have to do is figure out new ways to solve problems and use lots of different strategies and ways of thinking and explore the problem. They're going to try a lot of things. Some of them might not work, and then they try, you know, other things. And then it's a competition, and so the more correct solutions you get, you can win, and there are prizes and levels. You advance to other competitions.
Now, you're talking about getting kids involved and parents being ambassadors for math, finding stuff that they love in math. What is lost when we don't do that, when we try to sweep math under the carpet, pretend it doesn't exist, and that we're just going to get by without it? What are we missing out on?
Well, I think too much. Today, math is in everything. It's the basic language of all of science and technology, which is so important, and also the foundation for a lot of the most exciting jobs and the most high-paying jobs in our world today. And even to understand the newspaper, you know, when you read about a poll about the presidential election, you need to know math. So I think to be in the world today, you need to be fluent in mathematics.
I've read, actually, I may have heard from a guest on this show in the past, that mathematicians really try to find something so obscure that it can't find a use in the real world, and then people keep finding a use for it. Like with a prime number theory, I understand what you work on. People thought, okay, nothing you could do with that, and now it's the basis for internet encryption.
Absolutely. I mean, Hardy famously wrote about number theory and the study of prime numbers as being the example of math that could never be used for anything. And now every time you buy something online or send an email, your information is being encrypted using the properties of the prime numbers. And that encryption is safe. And we can know it's safe partly because of the mathematics that people have done to understand primes and the patterns in them.
I understand recently, a woman won the Fields Medal, one of math's highest honors, for the first time ever. How friendly a place is mathematics for women?
Well, it has improved, as we can see, for example, by Miriam Mirzakhani being the first woman to win the Fields Medal, which sometimes people call the Nobel Prize of mathematics. But it still has a long way to go. Women are in the minority among professional mathematicians and graduate students and postdocs training to be professional mathematicians. And so there is still work to be done to keep women in that pipeline into mathematics and honestly a lot of other related you know, science and technology fields. So while we have come a long way and it is exciting to celebrate that, we still have a lot of work to do to get women fully involved in math and science.
You mentioned that you really got into math in middle school. A lot of times we hear the opposite story, that that's when girls lose interest in math. They think it's not appropriate for them, or they're told that it's not appropriate for them. How do we turn that around?
Well, you know, I would say that I think that happens because of a lot of social pressures and ideas about what is cool. And having good role models is an important thing. So I think that if you are a mom, you should be finding the math and the things you love and the parts of math that you can get excited about and, you know, sharing that with your, with all of your kids, but especially your daughters. And the same thing, anyway, if you can't connect to that, you know, help find them stories of women who are doing math and science that can relate to something they're excited about.
Where do you find stories like that?
Well, I guess for me, I work in...
you are that story.
in math and science.
Mirror, yeah.
So I know a lot about that. But, you know, here in Madison, we have a lot of great programs like the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery Science Saturday, where you can bring your kids and they can meet a lot of scientists, and they're going to see, you know, women and men there. And so I think finding those kind of outreach opportunities would be great.
And I wanted to ask, you're involved in a talent search program for high school students, I think, math, STEM fields in general here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Briefly, how does that work?
Well, we send out problems, math problems, these kind of problems that students haven't been taught how to solve, but if they really think and work, they can puzzle them out. We send those out to all the high schools and middle schools in Wisconsin. So one neat thing about this talent search is that even a student at a school that is not big enough to have a math team or doesn't have the resources for a math club, any student who's just into math can take these problems, work on them, and send us in the solutions.
Melanie, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thank you.
That was Melanie Matchett-Wood, Assistant Professor of Mathematics at UW-Madison.